I realize, as many of us are here tonight, and as full as we are of the wonderful things that we've heard and seen, that each of us could spend quite a bit of time testifying. That's good. That's wonderful. And so I'll endeavor to be brief with my thoughts, the scriptures, and the things that I have for you tonight. And you bear with me just a moment. I'd like to start with Hebrews, the 12th chapter, first verse. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. On this 25th day of July, 1983, I'm happy that the Lord permitted me to see another camp meeting. I see the different ones who come in, various places all over the country from different states. I see the campers. Looks like the grounds are almost full. And in fact, even the new park that's been obtained a few years back, it's well occupied and still growing. Wonderful. But if I had a thought that I'd like to impress on you tonight, it would be these few words, lest we forget. Lest we forget. We're glad for all the blessings of the Lord. We look forward for even greater things the Lord to do and work. But lest we forget from whence we've come, lest we forget who we are and to where we're going, we need to give heed and run this race with patience that's set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So first of all, we should not forget the price that's been paid for our redemption. This is a great price. Of all the things that we could preach and talk and sing and do, nothing excels the theme of Calvary's story. It was for me he died. It was for my sins that he shed his blood on the cross. And this should be uppermost in our minds. Then, after that, let us don't forget those who have been faithful to bring the salvation to us, the word to us. How beautiful are the feet, I believe the scripture said, of them that bring tidings of good peace. And so, we've had ministers and different ones who have brought the message to us, and we've had those who have stood through the heat and the cold and the storm and the sunshine to bring the message to us tonight. And so I say it is a wonderful privilege to be here tonight. If you're here tonight, just thank God that you are here and say, Lord, by this I take courage and I press on to greater things for the Lord. Lest we forget from whence we came. And then my mind has been prone to go back a few years. And in this 46th National Camp Meeting of 1983, my mind went back to some of the earlier days of the camp meeting. Some of the facilities and the things that was had in those days. And I'm quite sure that there are those sitting in the number tonight that could remember back quite a few years, and if you went back that 46 years, your mind would probably cross the railroad track that we don't that we don't have anymore. And your mind would probably take in the tent, large tent, and a few little tents scattered around it. Your mind would probably take in a little wooden frame dining hall right down across Monarch Springs Railroad Station. Well, you say, what railroad station?
Didn't you know this?
The railroad station? Monarch Springs. Oh, yeah. So, well, it's not in use right now. The vines have just about covered it. But I remember.
The train used to come by.
Why, you'd almost have to shut down the preaching or whatever for a little while the train came by. And so once each year, why, they'd put the tent up and come in their cars, such as were available in those days. I sometimes ride along in the cars that's available these days, and I think, oh my, how nice. How nice. You know, not all, occasionally have a flat tire. Sometimes things go wrong, but it sure is a far cry from what it was in those early days. Brother Crawley, bless his heart, he used to say a statement I've never forgotten. You remember what he said? Had the early cars and the problems they had with them. He used to say, there's two things I can do. I can push and I can pump. You have to pump up the tires, and sometimes you had to push your cars, get them going. But anyway, lest we forget. And I appreciate every convenience that we have available today. I appreciate the fact that there are cabins that have air conditioners in them. I think that's nice. I don't begrudge it to those who have an air conditioner. We've got one up there ourselves we brought with us and plugged it in. It's nice. It wasn't always that way, though. In fact, going back, we haven't crossed the tracks yet. We're still on the other side of the tracks. Water was had from the spring down there. So there'd be those faithful workers that plenty to do. Some went down to the spring and they dipped the water and they brought it up. And there was those in the kitchen just working and toiling. Lest we forget, there's still those in the kitchen here. It's still working no matter how much convenience you've got. Lots of work to it. But lest we forget those who have been faithful in their calling up till now. And so there were various things that we remember about those days. One thing in particular that I remember upon one occasion, and I believe that was the year 1938. I was staying with some others in one of those canvas tents on a canvas cot. There wasn't much wrapping or padding on the bottom side of the cot. And it wasn't nearly as so hot as it has been today at night. It was, daytime it'd warm up, but at night, you know, over there, that spring and that little creek running down through there and that temperature, it dropped down. I tell you what I did. And I think those who remember will believe me. I got up and I put on my clothes. And I went back with whatever cover I had trying to keep warm. But you know, the Lord blessed in those days. He was there. There were those who were faithful to bring the message and preach the word. In fact, I'm informed by a very reliable source that camp meeting was also had over there in 19 and 16 and 17 by the saints. I couldn't tell you what all happened then. I was born in 1916. So they had camp meeting over there, the saints did, 1916 or 17. The war came along, and it was shut down, I think, for a few years. And then up at Carthage, there was camp meeting. Some of you will remember that. I don't. I wasn't there that time. Yes, camp meeting up there in a park. Yes. And so, lest we forget, the Lord was faithful to bring the word and send the word, and he committed it to faithful men and women since the early Reformation, since the day of Pentecost, to preach the word and to bring it to us today. And so I am thankful for those who've been faithful to God down through the years. There are so many names that we could mention at this point, which might not be advisable. I'm sure I'd miss some. I wouldn't think of all of them. But there are those dear faithful men and women of God who brought the word and preached the word and lived the word. Those we appreciate, lest we forget. We appreciate those people. And so, after a while, the Lord blessed the saints some more, and they moved across the track. And here on this ground was a bunch of old stones that had been laid up here. They intended at one time to build something. Don't think they ever finished it up. And so those who were responsible took it upon themselves that they bought the ground. We'll build a pavilion over there. And so piled some stones together where there was already some foundation material and poured a slab over it. That's up where we're standing now. And off back there were piers to pour and posts to set and buildings to put up. And you know, I counted a real treasure that I had just a little hand in rolling the wheelbarrow back there to pour some of those piers back there at the back. And in 1941, I believe was the first year that the meeting was at this point. Some of you correct me there. May miss it a year or two, not far, but about 1941 and under the pavilion. And of course, some of you know the story from there and how the Lord is blessed. Now, of those that were responsible for the early days, there have been those who were faithful to carry out their purpose and their mission. A little span in life, a little temporary spot, and that's all that any of us are here. Just a little section. We're here today, and tomorrow we too will join that great caravan that had moved on to those eternal realms. And so I would like to impress upon your minds to not forget from where we've come, not forget why we're here, nor forget to where we're going and how we're going to get there. And I hope that we will appreciate these things and really work upon them to be faithful in the place the Lord has put us. As I started to say, among those who were responsible for those early days, I regret the fact very much that some of those betrayed the trust of the saints, a very few. Some did not prove faithful. Many of them did. And also, many of those who were responsible have gone on tonight. They're not with us in this service tonight. We respect, we reverence, we hallow their thought, their labors. And I believe the Lord would have us to respect those who have been faithful as they pressed on this heavenly way. Now, as I said, I'll endeavor to be brief. I want to bring this to a point, not take up or waste your time. I'm not here to waste your time. Too many others can have things to say that will be profitable and helpful. So God forbid that I should waste your time. A scripture in Matthew 13 and verses 45 and 46. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he hath found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Now I'd like to think for just a moment about this merchant man. He's seeking goodly pearls. I take it that this merchant man knew value when he saw it. He'd handle them. He looked at pearls. I couldn't tell you probably a good pearl from a bad one. Imitation pearl. But he did. He was seeking goodly pearls. And in all his shopping around, one day, he found one. It was a nice one. Oh, he thought, what a nice pearl. And so, you know what he did? He went and sold all that he had and bought that pearl. He probably just took his little old bag of pearls and just emptied them out. Went to some dealer someplace. I'm using my thoughts here. He went to some dealer someplace and said, "Look at these pearls, what I've got. I want to sell them. How much will you give me for the whole thing? I'll just sell all of them to you." All right, the man made him a price. He gave a price. Anyway, they reached an agreement. He took him up on it. He put that money in his pocket and he hurried back over there to where this great, wonderful pearl was, and he bought it. Now that's what Jesus said is the way salvation is. Man looking for goodly pearls, and he found one a great price, and he decided that it was worth all that he had. And so he just went and sold it all and gave it. You know that's the way salvation is. If you get it, it'll cost you everything. All that you have, it'll cost you. So he saw that pearl. He wanted it. He was willing to pay the price. And he bought it. I think he went away from there happy. I think he was a wise man. I don't think he regretted it. Have you ever heard anybody say that I'm really sorry that I started living for the Lord? I'm so sorry. Just a waste of time. Have you heard that? I see here tonight those folks who are rejoicing, and I can well understand that. Rejoicing. I remember from whence I came and where I am and to where I'm going, and I rejoice. And so they're glad. This man was glad he did it. He didn't have any regrets. And he was just delighted to give all that he had to buy that pearl. When I think about what God has saved, some who have really been down in the depths of sin, it's marvelous. It's marvelous to think the Lord would love us that much and save us out of our sins. And of course, all of us were in sin. And so the Lord just had compassion and saved us and forgave us and sent us on our way rejoicing. So now let's don't forget from where we came, where we're working to go to. And I'm reminded of a little story, true story. If I can tell it to you in a way that'll have the appeal that it did to me. But recently, in Oklahoma City, there was a big promotion put on. And that promotion was they hid a stone that represented a diamond that was worth $10,000. Can you imagine? $10,000. Big promotion scheme. That reason. I'm sure there was a lot of profit and basis behind it. That probably we don't know the whole story. But so you listen to this radio station now, and we'll give you clue today and one tomorrow and another time where this thing is hidden. $10,000. Now it's not the real stone, but it's a stone that has it's wrapped up in it's an envelope and some tape on it, a little personal note in it, and a few things that if you find it, you can bring it in, and we'll take you up to the vault, the place where the real thing is, and we'll give it to you. Can you imagine the interest that would stimulate? $10,000. So day after day they gave the clue. Incidentally, I didn't look for it. But they gave the clues. Where is Fanny? Oh, it's south of Britain Road. Well, that's a street that runs through Oklahoma City on the north side. Oh, it's north of Reno. That's a street north down to the south. It's west of I-35. And the people, you know, and then you go to these advertising stores, and they've got some more clues you can find. You go then, we won't tell those on the radio, but you go to that store and you get another clue. So here these people make the rounds going, I suppose they did. I didn't go to the store to look. I know they did. Go to that store and clue this, clue that, and all that. $10,000? And one person claimed that he was the only one actually knew exactly where it was. And so he'd give these clues out day after day after day, and they intended for the folks to find that thing on this certain weekend, been going for 3 or 4 weeks, and about time somebody was finding it. And all the people searched, and I tell you, it got so bad that they told the folks it is not at Quail Springs Mall. I guess they flooded that thing. Quail Springs Mall just about to rip the thing apart, you know. Crowds going and looking. They said it's not at the fairground. Don't go to the fairground. I guess they're just about to trample things underfoot. But they was looking for that diamond. It wasn't the real one, but it was the one, if you found it, you could bring it in and get it. Well, day after day this went on, and toward this last week it got hot. Let me tell you the clue. They wanted folks to find that thing. They're getting tired of promoting that thing. You find it, somebody's going to find that this week. Oh, they looked, just hundreds of people. As I say, I didn't join the crowd. I didn't go see them, but I know they must have been. Ripping and tearing and looking. You don't have to tear anything off. You don't have to dig anything up. Otherwise, no telling what they would have dug up, you know. Trying to find that thing. So as time went on, and they started giving those clues every hour. You know, just every little bit. It's here, it's down there. And they started saying something about freezing mason, or a mason that was freezing. They started saying something about from pillar to post. They started saying something about 32. Well, you know, in masonry, there's a 32, you know, state, the point you reach. They're trying to get that 32 across. And finally that thing began to dawn and sink in on folks. And that 32, let me tell you, things got hot. I understand they finally zeroed in on Will Rogers Park. And they started looking that place over. And one lady and her husband and her mother, I think she had one or two children, didn't start until Monday, I think it was. Right on the last. They got these clues and really started digging in on it. And so they got that clue, something about that 32. So they went out to that park. I believe the husband said to her mother, said, now you start counting the posts from that end. They were from pillar to post. All these clues. Some of them mean something, some of them don't. I mean, they don't mean a whole thing. Said, you start counting from that end. Whole bunch of posts set up in this park, like railroad ties. And so the mother started off down at that end, and the wife started down at the other end. 1, 2, 3. And she counted up 32. Started looking like railroad ties standing on the end. Something was in that crack. Her son had told her just before. He said, now, Mom, if you find it, keep cool. keep cool. Be calm. She looked in that post. There's a crack in it. She didn't have a thing to dig with. She called her husband. Come. He started digging in there, and out he came with his envelope. They didn't say anything to anybody. Just quietly stuck it in their pocket and headed for the car. So they headed for the radio station. And got up there. And those people at the radio station were just, they just looking every time the elevator came up. Ding! Wonder who's on it. Has somebody found it? And this time it came up. Ding! And this lady came forth, and this one who was familiar with the clues and all he'd been given, he looked at it. There was his handwritten note in there. There was this stone. It wasn't worth anything, the stone itself, I guess. But it represented something. A diamond that was worth $10,000. He said, "You've won it. You've got it." The whole station just set up a cheer. She said her legs became just like jelly, trembling. All the while she'd wondering, have we really got it? Have we really got it? And she just got weak and trembling. She won it. So I guess today, this young lady is probably the owner of a $10,000 diamond ring. Said she wasn't going to wear it to the party. She had it up in the vault. She didn't have it out yet, but she was going to get it. Now I say all that to say this. It's a wonderful thing to get salvation. We've got, you've seen that, heard that expression or read it. I found it. Not everybody could find the diamond that was hid in Oklahoma City. Only one person. In fact, I think that she was real smart, or the son was real smart, that told her to keep calm. Why, they could have trampled her underfoot and took that thing away from her. If you know, the crowd that was looking and milling and all this sort of thing. Well, that's the way it is with the worldly diamonds. But I want to tell you something. Tonight, you can have the assurance of salvation now. No one can take it away from you. And it's yours to keep for good, for life. But I'll say this, lest we forget. You may be saved today, but we're still on probation. We only have the earnest of our inheritance. The real thing that we're really working for is at the end of the journey of life. And you say, well, I've got the real thing now. All right, I agree. All right, real, that's fine. You've got salvation. That's the assurance, the handwritten note by the author that you bring this in and I'll give it to you. But you haven't got there yet. We're not there. We're working for that day. Unless we forget and say, oh, I've got it, we'll just settle down on our leaves. No, we haven't reached that end of the journey of life yet. And I tell you what I liken that unto. I liken that unto, if you remember, Joseph was sent down to see about his brothers who were feeding the flock in Shechem. And he went down to see about them, and he thought he knew where they were. And he found where they were. And in the 37th chapter of Genesis, and beginning here with verse 14, and he said to him, go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren, his father, and well with the flocks, and bring me word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. Verse 15, this is one I'd like to impress on your minds if I could. And a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, what seekest thou? Joseph thought he was going to see his brothers, And he went down that way, but he went to where they were, and they were moved on. And he didn't know what to do. And so this man found him just kind of going around in circles, just wandering around. And the man asked him, "What are you seeking for?" And he told him, and he pointed him on the way where to go. So I say that to say this. There are some folks that have started out, and after a while they don't get the results they thought. They began to wander around in the field. And that's all they're doing. No goal, no purpose, nothing to look forward to. And as sad as it may be, tonight, if the question was asked, "What are you seeking? What are you looking for?" I can think of a multitude of answers that we might get. If we were to ask a young person, some of them, "What are you really looking for out of life?" What would be their answer? "I'm just really having a good time now, that's all. Not really too concerned about tomorrow, I'm just having a good time." A little more serious person might say, "Well, really, I just like to get all the wealth I can, just as fast as I can. And so I'm really working on that." If you had asked the merchant man, he'd say, "Well, I just want to promote my wares and sell just as much as I can, and I'm busy, busy, busy all the time." Let me tell you something. We're filled with a world where people are busy. I know tonight there are folks here that have quit your work and left your activity to come to this meeting. And I hope that we who are responsible for occupying this position will not waste your time. I'm not here tonight to waste your time. I hope that something will remain with you, that'll linger with you through life, that will incite in you a purpose in life. Something to work for, to live for, and to die by. This salvation that we have is not only good in this life, but it's good in the world to come. If we present it, what did the Apostle Paul say? "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day." He will give it to me if I present to him this handwritten note. If I present to him my faithful credential that I've lived for him faithfully to the end of life, he'll give me a crown of righteousness that fadeth not away. And to me, life is more than a dream. Life is more than a chasing bubbles in this world. There are those who are just chasing bubbles. It'll burst. It'll fade away. It'll be gone. And when we look about us, life is moving so swiftly. You realize we're already more than half gone of 1983, and it looks like we just got started. And it's already more than half gone. And when I look about me and I say, "Well, where are those dear old brothers and sisters who were those advisors and helpful in those days?" So many of those are gone. And so, ere long, you and I too will move on to that eternal part of our inheritance out there. Let us have a goal, a purpose. Let us have a reason for living. And that reason is that we may glorify God, that we may influence others, that we may brighten the life of some of those with whom we come in contact. Their life will be brighter and better, and something to live for and something to work for. So if you're searching for a literal diamond, let me say there's something more valuable than that. If you're wandering in the field and you don't know just where you're going or why you're there or where you're going when you leave here, let me say there's a way that you can go. There's a purpose in it, a plan in it, and God will show you that way. You say, "Well, I don't really know what the Lord wants me to do." Well, I say the Lord has a plan for each one of you, and he'll show you that plan and help you to find it. And he has a purpose. You say, "Well, I can't do anything." Oh, yes, yes, you can. Well, say, "I can't preach, I can't sing, I can't all these other things." Well, there is a place that no one else can fill like you can fill it. But you must have that purpose that you're going to be faithful in the place the Lord put you, and He'll lead you right on through. And after a while, some of these days, when life is over and we've been faithful to the Lord, we'll hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Now I liken this living for the Lord unto, we might say, a battle. I'll just briefly mention a battle that stands out in my mind. Gideon had this battle, and the Lord called on him to go forth and battle the Midianites, and he wanted definite proof. The Lord wanted him to do that, and God gave him that proof. But at first, God said to him, said, "You've got too many. I really can't use this many." You know, the Lord doesn't always work with a large crowd. It might be just a few. So he said, "There's too many." He said, "Everybody that's fearful and afraid to go, so just send them back home." I think that's the way it is in God's vineyard. If you don't want to go, you don't have to. You can go back to the luxuries of life and the pleasures of this world. Said Moses could have gone back to the things that he had had, but he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. So out of his 32,000, 22,000 went back. That left him 10,000. Gideon. The Lord said, "You've still got too many." And he gave them another sign, what to do, how they go down to the brook, and he'd separate them again. Might be worth noting that he said, everybody that just stoops down and just drinks the water out of the creek, said, you send him back home. But if they took the water and they lapped it up in their hand and drank it, why, you take him with you. Now, what does that mean? You know, the Lord has some symbols too. And the Lord has some, not exactly riddles, because He wants us to understand it. But I would say that would represent that, like Jesus said, watch and pray. If a person just went and just threw their sword down on the bank and just got down to satisfy his thirst, somebody might push him in the creek or not be looking and the enemy come up on him. But if one was lapping the water up and he was watching, didn't Jesus say, "Watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation"? And so there was some doing like that. Well, that left him a few. In fact, it left him 300 men. Oh, that's enough. That's enough. And so he divided those 300 people into groups of 100 each. And so Gideon says, "Now I want you to do just what I do." The Lord had revealed to him what to tell him. And he gave each man three things. You know what they were? Gave him a pitcher. P-I-T-C-H-E-R. That's a container. Like a whole water. Empty, however, except one thing. And along with the pitcher was a torch or a lamp. Torch. And a trumpet. Say, what an unusual way to go to battle. And so he took those three things. Now this pitcher wouldn't have been, I don't think, a clear glass pitcher like we see here, but it would be probably a crock that you couldn't see through, and he put a torch in it. And so they divided the company up, the three of them, and one from one direction and one, and it was at night. And one from another, and the third one from a different direction. So now everybody, you be ready and you do just what I tell you to do now. Do you know, if you're in the order of the Lord, He'll just work it out just right. Brother Sam is here with us tonight. We're glad he is, Brother Sam Abbott. I remember Sister Armilda telling how that One time she was on the train coming out here from California, I believe it was, and she was riding in this dome coach, and the folks were singing and playing their instruments up there one day. And she had told the Lord before she left home, if she was here, she'd be glad to tell you, I know, because she told it. And she said, now, Lord, just make me a minute, you know, a minute man, so to speak, for you. And so they were playing their instruments and singing their songs. And the Lord said to her, said, I want you to go up there and sing. Oh, she said, Lord, I can't do that. I thought you said you wanted to be a minute man for me. Well, all right, Lord, whatever you say. So she meekly goes up, you know, and sits by for a while. And pretty soon, anybody else want to sing or whatever? I don't know, just the details of how it worked out. And she said, yes, I'd like to sing a song. I don't know, maybe the old-time religion or some of her favorite songs. And so, all right, listen to the little lady sings. And so she sang, and the folks didn't join in very well. Now the man said, listen here. You have the little lady sing. So they sang again, and more of them joined in. And the Lord blessed her for witnessing for the Lord in that way. You know, the Lord has placed us all in places sometime where you can witness for Him in some way, some measure. And anyway, these people were all set to march in on the enemy out here. And it was a night, second watch, I think, about the middle of the watch, if I remember correctly. Everything dark. And said these Midianites were like grasshoppers. I mean, so many of them. Just had the valley just filled up with them. So, the time came, they marched up from the three directions, and they did what they were told to do. First thing, I don't know whether they had a hammer or a stick or what, but they broke the pitcher that let the light shine out that was in it, and then they blew the trumpet. And can you think of 300 trumpets blowing, 100 of them in each direction, just sounding throughout that valley? Those people woke up, and the Israelites said, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon, and the trumpet was blasting off, and the light was shining. They think the whole thing is crumbling in on us. And they grabbed their swords and started slashing. And when it was over with, most of the Midianites were wounded, some of them killed, and they just threw their things away, and oh, it was quite a battle the Lord gave His people. But they had a purpose, they had a plan, they fitted into God's plan in the way they did. And so, I hope that you will realize that God is able to help you in the way of life, and you'll not be like the Joseph that just wandered around out there, no plan, no purpose. It's wonderful to get saved. That's good. But that's not enough. You're not to stay there. You're to move on. There's work to be done. Just like others who've worked and brought us this great salvation. And of course, the most of all, I often say, if the plan of salvation cannot touch your heart, I don't know what to use. I don't know what to tell you. What else will do it? And you say, well, I don't know how the Lord's going to take care of me. I don't know how He's going to supply my needs. And let me say at this point that serving the Lord is not a sideline with me. This is my supreme goal in life, that I may be faithful in the place He's given me. And I can say the Lord has certainly supplied our needs down through the years. He's taken care of us and supplied the needs for that which He called us to do. And so we never know what tomorrow may bring, but as we go from this place and we have remembrance of the things that's happened, the blessing that we've had, let's settle in our hearts, Lord, I want to be faithful. If I should be back next year, we'll be further up the way. We'll be faithful in that which the Lord has called us to do. And so may the Lord bless and keep every one of you, help you to be faithful, lest we forget from whence we came, who we are, and to where we're going. We're headed for that eternal city of the Lord. We're headed for that place where there comes... Oh, you say, well, the Lord wipes away. I know salvation brings joy and peace and victory and all of that here. But the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. And I think what a great homecoming it will be. And I so often said and thought about the resurrection of the dead. I believe Sister Evelyn McCoy is here tonight. I think she is. Or is she not? Yes, she is. But that, I mention it quite often. Brother McCoy, I heard him say something, her husband, I heard him say something one time. I didn't hear him say. I heard of something he did say one time. I wasn't present. But he said, I would like to, when the trumpet sounds and the dead started rising all over, said, I'd like to hurry out to Summit View Cemetery. That's the cemetery out east of Guthrie where all so many of the saints that are buried. Brother and Sister Johnson, Brother Britt, Brother Darius Gibson, Brother CEO is buried there, and Brother Fred Pruitt, And you know, one by one, as we see these dear ones laid away, the scripture said, don't you sorrow as others that have no hope. And we have that hope that some of these days there's going to be a reunion like you and I have never seen before. I like to see a reunion of brothers and sisters and different ones coming in. That is so nice. They're concerned for one another. And all, it's really a pleasure. And maybe years have passed and they haven't seen one another. But you know, saints, there's coming a reunion like you and I have never seen before. Amen. It's going to happen quickly. It's going to be over in just a matter of moments. The dead in Christ shall rise. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord with him and to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So we'll get to be there all right. We won't be left out. We might not rush out to the cemetery and be there in time, but they won't go off and leave us because we'll meet them in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. God bless every one of you. Lest we should forget.
It is written in the Bible how the Savior died in love, that he's lost and guilty sinner may be saved and crowned above. Oh, that happiness that is coming will receive a crown of love.
question that's facing you and me. It's a beautiful day, a wonderful day, a glorious day, but will I be there? Will I receive this crown of life? Will you receive it? It's in your hands, dear one, whether you receive the crown of life. This is the question, will you have? I want you to have a crown of life. I want to have one. I want to live in this world so that I'll have a crown of life when I get up there.
Amen.
But you're going to have to do something. You're going to have to give yourself to Jesus. You're going to have to give in, give up sin, live for the Lord here in this life, die in a sinner, in a saved state, die in a grace with the Lord, and then you'll have this crown. This last stanza says, "Oh, we'll see our dear Redeemer when the heavens shall unfold on his happy overcomer place a crown of purest gold." I think about those that are not going to receive a crown. Will you be one? We heard a song in this camp meeting, "Standing Outside." Somebody's going to be standing outside. While these are receiving a crown, while these are being on the right hand, enjoying and receiving the graces that God has for us in eternity, somebody's going to be standing outside. Are you standing outside tonight, outside of the camp of God? Are you outside of the church of God tonight? Don't be caught in that condition when you leave this world. If you're standing outside, not ready to meet God, come tonight and bow at the altar and be with one of those that receives this crown of purest gold.
Oh, we'll see our dear Redeemer when the heaven shall unfold on each hand the overcomer place a crown of purest gold. Oh, then let's let his coming
meeting has been getting a hold of something that's real, something that's definite.